I believe last time Greg Gordimer began discussing vessels. So, first of all, if I can repeat anything, just let me know and I'll try to skip it. So, again, basically, the concept of a vestis is a time when a woman expects to become a nida, whether it's a time based on the calendar or based on some physical symptom, whatever it is. So, we expect to become a nida at that time, so a certain halacha is associated with that time. So, before we get to the halacha is associated with that time, so on the Gemara Tazayin Amud Aleph, Rav Nachman has a question. Boy, my name is Rav Nachman. Or they ask Rav Nachman. Vestos deraisa odrabanan. This concept that at these times we expect a woman to see. Let's take the simplest example. Let's say just she sees every 32 days. She becomes a nida every 32 days. So once she's seen after 32 days three times, so now we expect her to see every 32 days until we realize that she's changed her cycle. So this halacha that we expect her to see at that time, so is that a deraisa concept or a derabanan concept? The Gemara says the nafka mina between whether it's deraisa or derabanan is as follows. Halacha is that on the veses, so since we expect to become a nida, she's usher to her husband. And moreover, since we expect her to become a nida, then she's supposed to do a bedika, the check, to see if she became a nida. And the question is, though, the Gemara says the nafka mina, whether you assume that the concept of vesos is derabanan or deraisa, is what happens if she did not do a bedika, and now the day passed, and now let's say it's the next day. So do we assume that she in fact became a nida, and even though we didn't see anything happen, whatever we assume was just, let's say, a small flow that month, but we assume that she became a nida since we expect her to become a nida that day? Or do we not assume that? So the Gemara says, if you assume that the concept of vestos is deraisa, that based on from a deraisa level we expect to become a nida, so yes, we assume she became a nida, and even if you didn't see anything, you assume she became Anita, and she's now usher to deraisa, you know, now on day 33. However, if you assume the concept of vesta is only derabanan, so then if the day passes, so she's not for sure Anita. So machlok is Rishonim, what happens? Some Rishonim hold that once the day passes, you didn't see anything, don't worry. She didn't become Anita, you don't have to do anything. Some Rishonim hold that she has to do a bedika the next day, or whenever you remember that, oh my gosh, the vestis was yesterday, so you do a bedika that day. And if she checks and she doesn't find anything, so then she can assume she didn't see. But again, that's only assuming vestis are durabanan. If vestis
are, assume that
nothing happened, right. Sorry, right. But again, but vestis would be deraisa, then even if she would do a bedika the following day, we would not trust it. And we would assume that she saw that day, and whatever it flowed out, and she just didn't find anything the next day because she missed it. Fine. So that's in the basic machlokas between whether vestas are derabanan or deraisa. So there are different opinions in the Gemara, but almost all Rishonim Paskin, based on the Gemara, that we hold vestas are only derabanan. That, again, we only expect her to see deraisa, we really don't necessarily expect her to see on that day, even if in the past she had seen on that day, but it's not necessarily proof for the future. And it's only on a derabanan level, derabanan were machmir to make her usher on that day, and to tell her to do bedika on that day, but if the day passes and you didn't do bedika, so you don't have to worry about anything. Okay, was that all just the basic facts? I don't know what Greg will cover last time, or so. If anything that's not clear, you can assess. But those are just kind of the basic facts in the Gemara. So what I'd like to discuss is why, in fact, is the concept of vestos only derabanan? What I mean to say is as follows. The Gemara later in Maseches Nida and Yevamos explains that the concept of vestas is really just an example of a much broader and larger concept. And that larger concept is Cheskas Gimel Pan. The Gemara says, as a rule, if something happens three times, so we now assume that that is the rule, they weren't just random coincidences, and we now expect it to happen again. So for example, the halacha is that a short tam, a regular tame ox that gores only pays half damages, but once it's gored three times, we now realize it's a wild goring ox, you're expected to pay even more attention and guard it more carefully, and if your ox would then gore, you would now pay nezek shel, you pay full damages. Or similarly, if let's say in one family, they try to do a bris to three boys, and each son dies from the bris, so now we realize that there must be some sickness here or whatever, that they can't survive a bris. So we no longer give them a bris. The next, if that family, that mother would now give birth to another son. And the Gemara there says, in both places, that Vestos is just another example of this rule. So if a woman sees three times after 32 days, we now realize we should assume that's her cycle. We should assume that next time after 32 days, again, she'll see. And it's clear that in general, we hold that the concept of Cheskes Gimel Pamim, that if it happens three times, that's not proof that, again, it wasn't a coincidence and we expect it to happen again. That's a direct concept. That in terms of a Shor Mu'ud, in terms of whether we're going to give this son a bris, this child a bris, we're now not going to give him a bris. That's a mitzvah d'oraisa. But since we trust that since it happened three times, it's going to happen again, and we don't, obviously, we don't want the baby to die, so we don't give him a bris. So if in general the concept of Cheskes Gimel Pamim, then three times is sufficient proof, is a concept on a derisa level, and the Gemara says that Vestos is another example of that, so why in fact do we hold that Vestos are only Darabanan? We should, right? If it's an example of that concept, that's a derisa rule, then Vestos should also be a derisa rule. So that's what I'd like to discuss. Why are Vestos only Darabanan? So in the Rishonim, I don't think there's definitely not so much an explicit discussion about this. And I think I'd like to present, if you have time, three possible explanations of why Vestos are only Darabanan. Yes?
How do we know that they're Darabanan?
So again, the Gemara has a suffix. The Gemara asks, are Vestos derisa or Darabanan? And we have different opinions in both ways. Right. So even that would be troublesome because...
There is a machlokas.
Right, there is a machlokas. And we paskin, we hold, like in Shulchan Aruch, that Vestos are only Darabanan. Okay. Even if we wouldn't paskin that way, it would still be a question because why here is the Gemara... less certain about it than in any other place, but even more so since we pass investors or Durbanim. So I'd like to present three explanations that are found in that Achronim. There probably are more, but I'd like to give these three. So the first explanation is from the Noda Yehuda. So the Noda Yehuda says the truth is you're wrong. That even though it seems like Vestos are Darabanan, they're not completely Darabanan. So what does he mean? So as we sort of spoke about, so there are two nafgaminas, or at least two nafgaminas, to the concept of Vestos. One is that at that time, she's usher to her husband. And because why? Because we expect at any moment she might become anita. And the second nafgamina is after the fact, after the Vestos passes, do we assume it happened or not? So the Gemara only explicitly links this question of whether Vestos are derisa or Darabanan to the second nafgamina. I mean, after the Vestos passes, do we assume it happened or not? But the Noda Yehuda wants to argue that in terms of the first nafgamina, just on that day, at that time, at that ona, at that time, is she usered? Are we worried that any moment she will see? That everyone agrees, and we even paskin, that that is an iser derisa. That at that time, we do rely on Vestos on a derisa level, and she'd be usered on a derisa level. So why do we make this split? She explains as follows. It points to a Mishnah and a Gemara in Maseches Gittin. There, the Mishnah and Gemara are discussing the halacha of a Bas Yisrael, who's married to a Kohen. So as long as she's still married to the Kohen, she can eat truma. So the Mishnah deals with the case, what happens if the Kohen goes out of town for a long journey. And let's say he was very old, he was 70, 80 years old already. So can she still assume that her husband is still alive, even though she really doesn't know for a fact, and continue to eat truma? So the Mishnah says that yes, that based on the concept of chazaka the Mekara, since previously he was known to be alive, so until we know otherwise, we assume he's still alive. And she can continue to eat truma. But the Gemara there makes a qualification. The Gemara says, what happens if before he went on the trip, he said, he gave her a get, and he said, this get should take effect 5 minutes before from whenever I die. So if I die at 12:05 tomorrow, the get will retroactively take place at 12. Okay? So the Gemara there says, in such a case, she would not be able to eat truma. Why? Because there... In the first case, when it's just an issue of did he die or not, so before she takes any bite, she has to ask the question, is my husband still alive? And she's allowed to assume, based on Chazaka, he was alive, he's still alive. However, in the second case, when he gave a get that would be chal 5 minutes before he dies, the question isn't, when she's about to take a bite, is my husband still alive? The question is, will he be alive in 5 minutes? And that, the Gemara says, you don't have the right to assume, because maybe he'll die in the next 5 minutes, and therefore maybe the get... you'll realize soon the get will have already taken place, and you're divorced and you can't eat the truma. So the way the Noda Behuda presents the Gemara, he says as follows. He says, you see that when we're looking towards the past, did an event occur up until now? So we can rely on the chazaka, and we can say that we'll assume he has not yet died. But when the question is going forward, so there is no chazaka de meikara saying he won't die in the future, because that's absurd. We know he's going to die in the future at some point. It's reasonable to say up until now he hasn't died. But to make the claim that in the future he won't die, that chazaka de meikara, can't tell you. Again, just before, I just want to get confused. I'm using, the Gemara uses this, it's not my fault, but I'm just using the word chazaka in two different ways. There's chazaka of gimel pam, I mean just from the fact that something occurred three times, it'll occur again. And there's a concept of chazaka de meikara that a previous known status, we assume, continues. Just don't want to make any confusion. So nobody who takes that concept, again, that we only trust chazaka de meikara looking backwards, but not to predict future events, he applies that to our case. So he says, we have a woman in front of us. Right now, she's not Anita. Now, what are you wondering? You're wondering, will she become Anita on her expected vesis? So he says, if the vesis has already passed, and your question is, did she become Anita? So that, he says, there's a chazaka de meikara. The last thing I know for sure was she wasn't Anita. So if she wasn't Anita, I'll assume she still isn't Anita. She never became Anita. Because my question is, in the past, what happened? So that's what the Gemara is dealing with. So the Gemara is saying, once the vest is passed, and you're wondering, did it occur? So there, we don't follow the chazak of Gimel Paman. We rather follow, which Nehuda feels is stronger, we rather follow her previously known status. Since she was previously known to be Anita, not to be Anita, so we assume she didn't become Anita. And only with regards to that did the Gemara say, Durabana. But when it's the day we expect her to see, and now the question is, are they Mutter Ef Tashmish? Because maybe I'm worried that any moment she will become Anita in the future, so that there's no Chazaka to make her, that we can't rely on a previously known status. And so in that case, we do trust on a deraisa level the vest is based on the Chesed Gimel Pamim, and we say we do have to be worried that at any moment she will become Anita, and therefore, deraisa, she's usher to you. Okay, so that is the Noda Behuda's explanation.
So why in the case of the past, where it's already past the day of her vest, you said there are two Chazakas.
Yeah.
One is the Mikara, and the other one is the Gimel Pam.
Yeah.
So how does he know which one is?
So he doesn't spell it out, and so I wasn't sure if I was going to first give the three explanations and then try to explain why the weakness in each one, but maybe we'll just do now. Let's do one at a time.
Yeah.
So that is one of the main questions. There are a lot of questions in this Noda Behuda. So before we get to even that question, so I just like to point out, there are other Afronim, like really important Afronim, Chassam Sofer also, and other important Afronim, who have a stats for the same reason, or not necessarily the same explanation. They try to make the same distinction as Noda Behuda. That the Gemara says, Vesos are only Durabanan when we're wondering in the past what happened. But on that day, are you Mutter, Tav Tashrish, to say that that is an Issur D'oraisa? So many Afronim try to say this, but the problem is that just Rove Rishonim explicitly, and nobody is aware of this, explicitly say that's not true. They say that we hold Durabanan across the board. For both Nafkami, it's Durabanan. So the Noda Behuda, he says explicitly he's only saying this in certain Rishonim. Just he finds the explanation so compelling, he thinks that that also must be the din. Even though he basically admits explicitly that most people don't say this. And I think even in Shulchan Aruch, it's clear we don't hold this way. I can maybe point out why, but so that's just the first. Even before we know what might possibly be wrong with his explanation, he would admit that most Rishonim cannot hold this way. Do you have a question?
Yeah, I didn't see how it was compelling at all. I just didn't see how it was.
Well, we do have this Gemara and Gittin, and the Gemara and Gittin clearly does make a distinction between, in terms of the Chazak and the Meikar, in terms of right, that's the Gemara, Shema Meser, Shema Yamos, that even though we won't be worried whether he did die, but we will be choshish, he will die. So we do have that distinction. So, and then he tries to apply it here. So let me just say to you one more time quickly, and then I'll repeat Ray Balzum's question. Noda Yehuda says, the point of Noda Yehuda is that really we do follow Chesed Gimel, really we do follow Vessos. It's just that when the question is looking backwards, there's an opposing rule. And that opposing rule is Chazak Lemekara, follow your last known state. And the last known state was a non-Nida. So therefore that rule overpowers, beats out over the rule of the Chazkas Gimel Paman. So Rav Balzman was asking, but why should that win? And how does he know one's stronger? And also you could have just said, maybe we have two rules, so we're not sure if there should be a Suffolk D'Oraisa, L'chumra, meaning one rule saying she's not Anita, one rule saying she is Anita, so I don't know.
Because the rule that's saying she's not Anita seems to be D'Oraisa, or based on D'Oraisa.
Right, but Noda Yehuda is trying to argue that both are D'Oraisa, really. Oh. Yeah. Noda Yehuda is trying to argue that even... Right, even... Okay. So... Right, so many people ask this in the Noda Yehuda. So... and it's, you can really ask it, it's even worse. Why? Because Chazkas Gimel Paman seems to be more similar to a rogue in the sense that you're saying, since something happened three times, it seems likely it's going to happen again. It's not 100% going to happen, but rogue isn't either. But rogue is saying once the majority is this way, that apparently the Torah accepts that likelihood. And Chazkas Gimel Paman seems to be working on a similar way, that if it happened three times, it must be pretty likely. Again, I can't put a percentage on it, but it seems to be working on a likelihood. More like Rov, more Bir, dealing with the facts of the case. Whereas Chazaka de Meikara is not dealing with facts at all, saying, if that was your last known state, I'll assume that's the way. Even though it's not necessarily more likely, but just that's the rule that the Torah set, that in cases of doubt, you follow your last known state. But we also know the rule is that Ruba Chazaka, Ruba Adith. And the common way to understand that is that since Rove tells you on a fact level that this is actually probably what happened, and Chazaka is only when I don't know, so I'll fall back on that, so Rove wins, so one could have made an argument not only should these two opposing rules create a Safek, but really it makes more sense that Chazkas Gimel Pamim would completely win over Chazaka Meikars, because Chazaka Meikars is saying, I don't know, so assume your last known state, but Chazaka Meikars would be saying it's more likely that this actually happened. So those are all problems with the Noda Yehuda. I'm actually just going to leave it at that. He does not deal with that problem. So if we have time, we'll come back. So I just want to, but that is one of the major problems with the Noda Yehuda. Let me just say the other, I think, major problem with the Noda Yehuda, again, besides the fact that it's against most Rishonim, is that it's really, and this he does deal with, but it's a difficult explanation. His case is really not comparable to Gittin. Why? Because in Gittin, what's the case? He wrote a get saying, when I die, so 5 minutes before that, the get should take effect. So right now, when she's eating the truma, she's wondering, what will the future be in 5 minutes? Will he still be alive? There, the future affects the present. I'm worrying about the future because of the present. Because if in the future, in 5 minutes, he dies, it means I'm already divorced now. And I'm already now usher to eat truma. In our case, when, let's say, it's the day of her vessus, we expect her to see at any moment. So we're worrying about the future, that at any moment she will become Anita. But there, the future is only a problem for the future, meaning it's usher to have tashmish. Why? Because in 5 minutes, or in a minute, you know, if she becomes Anita, at that moment I'll now be in trouble and I won't have any way to get out of it. But it's not exactly the same thing as in Gittin. There, the future makes the present problematic. Here, the future is only making the future problematic. And if you think about it, it makes a lot of sense to make that distinction. Why? Because as we said, the concept of chazaka doesn't deal on the level of facts. It's a hanhaga. The point is, the Torah said, if you've been acting this way, continue to act this way. So you can make the argument and say that that's what's driving the Gemara in Gittin. That Chazaka says, if you've been seeing this animal as kosher up until now, so continue to see it now. But that can't tell you to predict future events, because the whole point of Chazaka is that it can't predict or prove a fact. So since you've been acting a certain way, continue to act that way. But in Gittin, we require her to do more than just to continue to act as an Ashes Ish. We require her to predict the future that she'll be an Ashes Ish. So it makes a lot of sense to say that's why they weren't saying that's beyond the power and scope of Chazaka the Meikara. But in the Noda Yehuda's case, where I just have to deal with every moment as that moment comes, So then you could make an argument, say that their chazaka, the mekara, should apply, because at every moment I can keep saying, she wasn't nida, she's still not a nida, she wasn't nida, she's still not a nida, and at no point do I have to predict the future. I don't have to ever predict the future, I just have to worry about every moment as it comes. So it's not a kash on the Nebuta, that's just another reason why the Nebuta's comparison to Morgan isn't so obvious. Right, so that's the Nodi Huda's explanation. The Chav Stas wants to make the same distinction, but for a different reason. Again, he wants to say that the Gemara only claimed its Durabanan looking back, meaning wondering, did she become Anita? But looking forward, will she become Anita at any moment? That the Chav Stas also wants to argue that there would be an Isser Dereisa not to have Tashmish. She has a completely different explanation, much more simpler. He says that really, our original question was, why don't we trust Vestos? Of course we should trust Vestos. It's an example of Cheskas Gimel Pamim. It's a derisa concept, we should trust it. So the Chav Stas says, in fact, yes, we do trust it. And therefore, on that day, you have to be worried that you're going to see. And since if she sees, you're going to be stuck in a situation where there's no way out, so it's Aser Daf Tashmish. So he says, but what happens after the fact? So, sure, this will be, talk about this a lot, but the Gemara later says that it's not enough on a derice level for Dam to come out to make a woman Anita. That's not enough. She also, as the Dam comes out, the Gemara says she has to have a Hargasha. She has to have some sensation that the Dam is leaving. So there are different possibilities of what she has to feel. And at a Durabanan level, even if she doesn't have that Hargasha, so she would still be in Nida. But on a Deraisa level, she only becomes a Nida Deraisa basically if she feels it. So Chav Stas says that in our case, so what happened? So she had a Yom HaVesis, means what we expect her to become a Nida. It means what we expect her for Dam to come and for her to feel it, because that's the way to need a deraisa. And therefore, on that day, it's an Isser Deraisa of Tashmish. Once that day passes, so now it's the next day. So, did she feel anything? So seemingly she didn't, because she felt it, then she would know she had become an Ida. So clearly she didn't feel anything. So since she didn't feel anything, that's a proof that it didn't come. You're right, all things being equal, we would trust the Cheskas Gimel Pamim. But here, once the day passes and she didn't feel anything, so that's a strong reason to think, or she doesn't remember feeling anything. It is possible she felt and didn't notice it or felt and forgot it, but that's unlikely. So since there's such a strong reason after they pass is to assume it didn't come, so that's the Gemara Safek. Meaning once the day passes, the lack of Hargasha, is that a strong enough proof for us to say it didn't happen? And for that the Gemara says, we hold, yeah, that's a strong enough proof it didn't happen, and therefore after the fact she's only Aser Derabana. But again, but on that day she'd be Aser Deraisa. So the problems with the Chav Stas are, first of all, again, most Rishonim just don't say this. The main other problem with the Chav Stas, the Chazon Ish points out, the Gemara talks about what do you do with a woman who's a Shota, who's not fully mentally competent, so either she's not going to notice when things are happening, or we can't trust her to check herself, or we can't trust her to make sure, you know, she's keeping track of the right days, or whatever it is. So the Gemara says that you can appoint a competent woman to kind of be in charge of her, in charge of her calendar, and that woman can check her on her Yom HaVeses, and in doing so she'll, the woman who's a Shota, there won't be any problem if she's married, or also, in terms of the Gemara, there are a lot of, Taros issues for Truma and Karbanot and so forth. They don't apply nowadays, so it's much more important. So you can make sure everything's okay by appointing someone to look after her. And you get the impression from the Gemara that basically a Shota, despite the technical problems, basically is no different than any other woman. There is some practical way to deal with her, and there won't be any special halachas for her. Maybe she can't do the bedikah, you'll have someone else to do with the bedikah, but basically she's fine. So the Chazon Ish says, but wait a second, according to Chav Stas' explanation, that the only reason why we assume the Vestas are Derabanan after the fact is because we ask her, did you feel anything? And she says no, and we trust her. So it's clear, a Shota, we She might not feel it. She might not realize. She won't understand what we're asking. Whatever. We can't trust her to say that after the day after that she didn't feel anything. And nowhere do we find that there's a special that the concept of vestis drabanan only applied to Nadashota, and it's a big chiddush seisun. We never heard of this before, so it's difficult to accept that that's the reason that we assume after the fact that vestis are only drabanan. So. Similar problem. It's kind of like there are a bunch of problems that all revolve around that sort of idea. The Chavastas himself points out that what would happen if the Gemara says, as we pointed out, that every woman to become a Nida Deraisa has to have this hargasha, this sensation when the dam comes out. So the Gemara says that there are some things that can mask or hide that hargasha. So one example, the Gemara says, if she's doing a bedika, if she's checking herself, so since that itself creates some sort of sensation in her gasha, so if at the same time she's becoming Anita and she would be otherwise having the hargasha of the dam leaving, she might not realize it. She might miss it. So the Chavastas says, according to my shita, it comes out a big chiddush that we never found. That let's say a woman does a bedika on her yovas like she's supposed to, and she didn't look at it right away, and then before she looks at it, it blows away in the wind, or she loses it. Or she puts it down, plain looking at it, and she doesn't ever get a chance to look at it, and only the next day she realizes that she's lost it. So it says, according to me, so you can no longer assume that vestos are durabanum, because the only reason why I said vestos are durabanum is because after the fact, since you had no hargasha, you can assume that you didn't become anita, but now since you did a bedika during the day, and you didn't check that bedika, and it's possible that at that time you were really becoming Anita, as the Gemara says, because you can confuse those hargashas. So I can no longer claim you didn't have a hargasha. And according to me, it will come out that we'd hold vestos derais in that case, and you would basically be stuck. You'd become tame automatically. You'd be usher to your husband, even though normally you wouldn't by missing your yom vestos. Right. So that nafkamina would be like possible to swallow, because like, I don't know, maybe that's right. It's not such a common occurrence, and maybe that really is true. No one ever wrote it down before. But the Pisrei Tshuvin Shulchan Aruch, and others point out a much more extreme nafkamina. The Gemara says that another example of something that can hide the hargasha of becoming anita is urinating. That when a woman urinates, so there's obviously some sensation associated with that, so that could hide the hargasha becoming anita. So Pisrei Tshuva says, according to the Chavastas, it comes out if a woman at any point on that day urinated. So again, once again, you can no longer claim that I'm certain there wasn't a hargasha, because in fact you had a hargasha, and it's the same type of hargasha, and you might not have known. So, and that seems way too hard to believe, because that would be every woman basically. So again.
But where's this Gemara that says
you're confusing? Sure, on Daf Nizayin Amud Beis. Now, in terms of the last question, the Gemara does say what I just said it says. Some want to say that in terms of Meir Aglaim going to the bathroom, that the Gemara, whatever, later backed out of. That's more of a Chiddush. That's not the Pashup Shana Gemara. And I think most Poskim don't assume that, but it's possible to say that. So again, so for that reason, the Chazanish and others also reject the Chavastas. Again, also, most Rishonim are against it. So the Chazanish comes along and just gives the most simple explanation of why Vestas are only drabanan. He basically says that this was the discussion and the suffix of the Gemara, but we assume the conclusion is that even if a woman sees three times after 32 days, it's just simply not reliable. Meaning, even though the Gemara does say there's a general rule when something happens three times, we assume it'll happen again. Again, that's assuming, though, that we believe that that's sufficient evidence. Meaning, no one would ever say that, I don't know, if she became Anita three times while it was snowing outside, so now she's a vest every time it snows. No one would ever say that, because we just don't think it's reasonable to think that it's tied to snowing. And you get that sense even in the Gemara Yavamos. So the Gemara says, Gemara wants to know, another example of Cheses Gimel Pamim is that if a woman has three husbands that die, so we now assume that, I don't know, something associated with her and husbands dying, and we don't let her get married anymore. So the Gemara there has a question. Why do we assume that? Is that because mazel garam? We assume it has something to do with her mazel? Or do we assume it's mina garam, which somehow we assume that physically, I don't know, maybe she makes them sick somehow. We assume it's something to do with physically she makes them sick. They weren't based on have certain afkaminas. I mean, what happens if he, you know, fell off a building and died? That's the worst afkamina. Or we say, what if someone killed him? So if you assume it's her mazel, so then it could be her mazel even affected that. But if you assume it's gives him some contagious disease or something like that, so then it wouldn't. So it's clear even in the Gemara. It's not just some like black and white rule of something happens three times, so automatically something will happen again. It's all in the context of we assume there's some underlying cause that we can trust. Just three times, after three times, we'll assume that that cause is now there. So the Chazon Ish basically just says that we think that even though time, let's say if we're dealing with the best of time certainly does affect, lapse of time does affect when a woman becomes married. But we just know there's so many things, her diet, how she sleeps, stress, whatever it is, but there's so many other factors, so we just don't think that three times are reliable enough. And that's why we hold that even though in general there is a concept, Chazon Ish Gimel Pamim three times creates on a derisa level an assumption that the event will occur again, but three times seen after 32 days just doesn't meet that level of proof. And therefore, it's completely derabanan, both looking after the fact if it happened and also on that day, do you have to be worried, will it happen? Again, that's only a derabanan issue. We should go until 10:30, right? Or that's a possible. Yeah.
Can I just ask a question on the Noda Bihuda, your second Hara?
Yeah, sure.
I'll
go back to that.
Right. I just don't understand the chiluk between, because we have a Gemara that says Vihizartem is Bnei Yisrael.
Right.
So your Tzarafulios live Rosh Minasha.
Right, so Rov Rishonim, they write this explicitly, they actually asked that question. So maybe I can start giving that background. So there are two main sugyas of Vestos. At least two. There's this sugya here, which is more dealing with after the fact. And there's a sugya in Shavuos, where it's more dealing with at the time, because the Gemara is wondering what happens if she becomes a nida during Tashmish, so when are they chayav a karban chatos for violating Isser Karis by mistake, and so forth. And there the Gemara quotes a pasuk. It says, V'yisartem Yisrael b'tum asan, that it's usser to have Tashmish, some of the basket. So most Rishonim, the Ravid, the Rush, the Ran, they're all in the basis. If they actually ask a question, they say, wait a second, based on the reading of Gemara Tazayin, the simple reading seems to say that Vestas are Durbanan, but the Gemara and Shavuos quotes a Pasuk. So they just write black and white, they say, you have to say that that Pasuk is a Nasmachta. It's only an Issa Durban, it's not an Issa Durban.
Yeah, but I'm going within the Node.
Oh, within the Node, okay, fine.
You say that that's the rice.
Yeah, sure.
Right? So then, Makora, it is parallel to the Gemara Gittin, because just like in the case of Gittin, because 5 minutes from now there's a possibility that he might die, so it will affect her present situation based on what will happen in 5 minutes from now. Mm-hmm. So why can't you say the same thing? If, let's say, in a minute from now, she's going to be a Nida during the Tashmish, so then the Mela right now, she's not allowed to have, they're not allowed to have Tashmish either. So it's not only what will happen in the future, it's also the future affecting the present.
Okay, so I don't think so, because if you hold that this Aprisha is Deraisa, so it's Deraisa now, even if she won't see. So whether she sees or not doesn't affect whether there's an Isser or not. I mean, the Isser is specific. I don't think so. Okay, just one example of...
But shouldn't we say the Isser of seeing now is based on the Beset? If you, what does it mean to say Sarif Lifrosh means the same sum of Levesta? That presumably means that she has established this concept that she will see.
Right, okay.
But if you say
but that
presupposes that it's the seeing, the Dom, that will cause her to be Asr now.
I think it's the
otherwise, what's creating the Easter
Samochlor Vesta? Right, so Samochlor just right. The question on the words is that apparently back then they would even have Vestas to the hour.
Right.
Correct. So say she would normally see at midnight, or whatever. Okay, yeah. So therefore, there's an Isser Samochlor Vesta that entire night.
Okay.
So since we expect her to see at midnight, so therefore she's Usser anytime around.
But it's the seeing of, at the midnight that's doing it.
No, see, it's the assumption that she'll see. Not,
right.
But that's not, but whether she sees or not, you violated
it's
that.
It's true. I understand in this particular case. But what I'm saying is, in order to create the whole, you know, the Easter in the first place, you have to generate this chazaka that she will see.
I agree, right? I mean, the whole it. See, right, again, I'm not. I have to think about. The Noda Bihuda would say the get of the Isser is it's us or because she might see. But not that retroactively I did anything bad now, but that it's us when you have Tashrish because at any moment she might see. And then at that moment I'm now being bol Anita, which is Sakari, so I can't begin to have Tashrish because at any moment, because I might get trapped into a. You can see, the base mayor actually. It's this Noda Bihuda actually is part of this like huge Noda Bihuda, which like touches on every major question in Masechta Anita. There seems to be just there was some medical issue around that time of Avodah Gedolah that for some reason women had to put some sort of ring into like their uterus for some reason to like hold it up. It was like somehow like falling out. So it's, I don't know, in like the Yiddish they offer like farful or something like that. So there are all these like issues of how does she do bedika, is it a chasisa for mikvah, and all these things. And it was like this was like the question for, like all of the gedolim were dealing with, and like all of the gedolim and big shuvas from of that time are like dealing with this. So in that shuva, so at least that's I think the main place he like puts down a shita. So the tshuva, the question, person who asked the question was the base mayor. So then there's a tshuva back from the base mayor. The base mayor basically argued the Noda Bihuda for like some of these reasons, and he makes that distinction of future affecting the present or not. And so Noda Bihuda basically, I'll tell you what the Noda Bihuda says. Noda Bihuda basically says it's more complicated, but he recognizes that difference. But he thinks that here it's still a problem because here. It's the, he asks on himself. He says, let's go back to the Gemara and get. So the Mishnah says, let's say he didn't write again. And the issue just is her husband still alive? Can she eat truma? So nobody just says, wait a second. Maybe we should say she shouldn't eat truma. Because, listen, it takes a minute to eat an apple, let's say. So at any moment, maybe in the middle of when I'm eating the apple, the messenger's going to come and say, he died. So when I begin to, or when I begin each bite and swallow, aren't I, you know, making an assumption about the future? So it's really the same thing. So right, so he says that no, the difference is that the difference is not between future for the future affecting the past. The difference is, are you gonna get trapped in a situation where you have no way out? So one way to get trapped is if the future affects the past. That will definitely trap you because now he dies and then, oh my gosh, the past 5 minutes I've been eating truma, there's no way to get out of it. However, if it's just I'm eating an apple, so as soon as they come in, I'll spit out whatever's in my mouth. There's no isser for there to be truma in my mouth, right? So I'll spit out immediately. But by tashmish, so if she would become anita during tashmish, you're basically stuck. And basically there's no way out of violating an isser. And therefore, in that case, you can't rely on the chazak. So that's where he draws the line. I'll say just one place in Shulchan Aruch where I think it's more or less clear that we pass the Vestas or Rabbanan for the Sapresha, and just because that was one of the points we kept making, is that the Gemara Yevamo says that if a husband is going away on a trip, so Chayev Mefokta as Ishto, something like that. So it's Machlokes Rishonim what that means. Even Bishas Vesta. So some Rishonim say that means you should just, appease her with nice words. But other Rishonim, I think most Rishonim say that no, it means that you should have Tashmish or whatever. That and it's Mutzar of Tashmish, even though it's your Yom HaVestas.
Of course,
right. So most. So the question is, how can How can you do
that?
How can we permit that? So the Rishonim basically explain, well, since vessels are only Darabanan, so we pass it as only Darabanan, so therefore, Chum felt in this case they waived the Isser Darabanan because they thought it was important to make it Mutter. And we pass it as a Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah passes. And the Ramah says, Hamachmer Tavalav Abracha, Baklim Iker Dinis Mutter. And so, again, this is just one of the places Rishonim write that vessels are Darabanan. So the truth is, and we pass this in Shulchan Aruch. So the truth is, the Chassam Sofer was also one of these people who felt that really this appreciates the rice. So just in the Malach Shulchan Aruch, they quote the Chassam Sofer, who basically just passes against this Ramah and says, I have a Kabbalah for my Urbain, the Isser appreciates the rice, and therefore this is, it's not just, the Ramah says, Machmer Tavolva Bracha, no, it's Usser, Maker Din. So again, these great Achorim pass in this way, but just Pashup Shot in the Ramah and the Rishonim is that it's Mutter of Tashish in that case because vessels are really just completely durable. Yeah.